to Philippians chapter. God is good. God is great. He is awesome. And it's all right to praise him in this house. I mean it. If you want to raise your hands, you raise your hands. If you want to clap, you clap. God is deserving of all praise in all forms as long as we're giving it to him. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to turn over there. We are in our series called Living Courageously. Means living our faith out loud. As we read through Hebrews chapter 11 and we look at the champions of the hall of faith, we're like, wow, these people, man, they did some incredible things. And man, they lived out loud and their faith was just, you know, right. I mean, wow, you know, and I would love it. Wouldn't it be great to get to heaven to find your picture in the hall of faith? Of course. You know, like you go, how many of you ever gone back to your high school to check to see if your trophy is still in the case? You know, you do that, right? And they didn't retire my jersey because I was so good. they just assumed it was bad luck to wear 99, and so they don't have that anymore. But the Hall of Faith, and we think of them as champions, but what made these people champions was the fact that they were just ordinary people with the same hang-ups and baggage you and I have. Because people are people no matter where they live in this world today or when they lived. People are people. We're just ordinary people, but serving an extraordinary God. What made them courageous was the fact that they put God first. Colossians 1. You're in Philippians 4. Just stay there. But this is just the theme verse for this series. Colossians 1 and verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that's Jesus, that in all things he, that's Jesus, might have the preeminence. That's first place, top dog, the boss, the final authority. He is the preeminent one. What made these people have a courageous life and be able to live their faith out loud? Well, God was first in their life. How were they able to do that? How were they able to put God first? Well, the next message that was in the series was the fact that God owns everything. They came to a realization that they did not belong to themselves. Imagine, some of you have had as many as 6 weeks leave. Imagine coming home after a long time of leave or vacation to find somebody squatting in your house, somebody living there. They've made it their own. They're eating your food, Brother Rob. They're sitting on your couch. They've been driving your car like they own it. And you think to yourself, well, I got a teenager like that. But, I mean, how would you feel? Like, wait a minute. Or like today, you walk outside and they drive off and somebody drives off in your truck. Right? What do you say? What's the first thing that pops in your mind? It's, hey, wait a minute, that's mine. That's mine. And we talked about how that identity theft is a $1 billion problem in this world. But as Christians, when we live our life like we own everything, like it's all ours, me, myself, I own me, we forget we're not the owner. We're not the owner. The people in Hebrews 11 could live courageously because they put God first. And why could they put God first? Because they recognized they didn't own themselves. They didn't belong to themselves anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is what know you not that you are bought with a price? Bought with a price, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God. In your body, and your soul, and your spirit. Why? Because they're God's. You don't belong to you anymore. Quit creating identity theft and saying, no, I'll live my life my way like it belongs to you. And then last week we talked about living courageously meant because they put God first, because they knew God owned everything, including themselves, they were able to put God first, they were also able to embrace their purpose. We are the stewards of God. A steward is somebody who manages the affairs and property of someone else for their benefit, not their own. So we are to manage everything God has given us, time, talent, resources, everything. It was given to us by God. They belong to God. And he expects and deserves us to manage his affairs for his benefit. Like I should take care of my body for his glory. I should take care of my marriage for his glory. I ought to take care of my kids for his glory. I ought to serve and take care of my and utilize the things God has provided me, the physical, tangible resources, money and vehicles and whatever, for his glory because it actually belongs to him. That's living courageously, putting your faith first because you've put God first. Now today I want to talk to you about finding our fulfillment in God. Take your Bible, look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 11 and 12. Not that I speak in respect of want, not that I'm hurting for anything, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now that word contentment is an interesting thing. The definition, one of the words in the definition, and I used the King James Bible Dictionary.com or Webster's 1828 Dictionary.com, our free websites. You can look up Bible words and they'll give you the definition. It means satisfied. The problem is we forget that the original definition of satisfied is not settling for less because that's all I deserve. That's not what that means. Satisfied or content does not mean I'm just settling. It means full, fulfilled. Let me ask you. How many of you love to eat a Chinese buffet? Chinese buffet? Amen. All right. It's a universal love. Right there you go. Right, it's the fourth universal law. We eat at the Chinese buffet. If you can't find something to eat at the Chinese buffet, there's something wrong with you. You didn't read the sign when you went in. But the truth is, when you go to the Chinese buffet, I was talking to a young couple here. They're newly married, and they've been making weekend trips going places. And I'm excited for them. I said, but don't bother going to Atlantic City. And they're like, why? I said, because the best thing in Atlantic City is the Harris buffet. That's the only thing worth going for. That's right. Everybody's in there losing at the crab tables. I sat down at the prime rib table and went, hit me, hit me, hit me. Man, they lost their shirt that day. All right? Huh? I'm just being honest. When you go to a buffet, you fill up, right? I mean, you get so full like a tick, like full as a tick. Man, you're so full, you're bloated, you don't even want to get one of the mints on the way out the door just in case you explode, right? You're so full. That's satisfied. That's what it means. When you're hungry and you go to the Chinese buffet, you eat till you're full and you are satisfied. You didn't settle for less. You got all you could handle. That's what that means. Content. I'm content. No, thank you. You want a mint? No. No, I don't dare. No, I don't dare. Huh? That's what God says when he says, I have learned to be content. That's what Paul is saying. I'm full. I'm satisfied. I'm fully filled. Or fulfilled. That's what this means. To live courageously is to recognize that I am to find my fulfillment in God. So Paul says here in Philippians 4:18, I have all and abound. I am full, it says. I am full. I mean, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to be content or to be full, to be fulfilled? What would make you feel fulfilled? More money in your portfolio? That make you feel good? I mean, more money in the bank, more money than you got bills for? What makes you feel that way? J.D. Rockefeller said, one more dollar, just a little more. That's all I need, just a little more. But you know, contentment makes a poor man rich, where discontentment makes a rich man poor. Because contentment is not about settling for less than what you could have. And the problem is discontentment leads us to grumble. And when you're reading the Old Testament right now, the auditorium Bible class is studying through the book of Exodus. And you're going to find one of the great sins in the book of Exodus was murmuring. Grumbling, belly aching, because they were filled, they were full, God had fed them, and they got fussy. Do you realize, though, that we look for fulfillment in a lot of different places? We do. We want to be satisfied. We want to be content. We want to be fully filled and feel like that. And we'll sometimes look to our spouse that way. They should fulfill me. They should, if he loved me like I love him, well, then he would fulfill me. Do you realize, ladies, that he can't fulfill you? Wow, got quiet in here. Okay, now I need to help you. I need help. You know, all the guys are like, what are you doing? I got to go home with her. She's right there. Some of the people are going to walk out like this. Oh, yeah. No, no, no. And he's going, what? What? If we can all stop being the sum of our disappointments for just a minute and recognize the grass isn't greener. You know, one of the things, you know, when you're young and you get married and you think, well, man, she's crazy. Only to find out you're crazy. But I get her crazy. I got 32 years experience with her crazy. right? And she's got 32 years experience with Mike Crazy. We ain't got time to train nobody else. She damaged, I'm damaged. It works. And the older I get, it's funny. The older I get, we become more of a total person. She can see far and I can see up close. She can reach low and I can reach high. She got a bad knee, but I got a good hip, you know, a bad hip. You know, we're one person. Ain't perfect, but your spouse will never fulfill you. Do you realize, ladies, there is a room in your husband's mind like a clubhouse where there's nothing in it at all? And we spend a lot of time there? And we're happy? Huh? You have to communicate your needs. You have to tell us what you want. You have to tell us why. Because my needs are not her needs, and her needs are not my needs. And so her needs don't come natural for me to fulfill. And the truth is, even as we've been married and I'm working at it and I want to fulfill her, I can never fully, truly fulfill her like the Lord Jesus Christ can. Now, it's no reason I should stop trying. You know what I'm saying? That's not a license. Well, just get close with Jesus and maybe we'll get along better. No. I'm still to try to meet her needs. I'm still trying to be loving and fulfilling. But the truth is, I'll always fall short because Isaiah 64:6 says, "Even for all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The best I can do on my best spiritual day is garbage. So I have to love my wife with God's love. That's prime top quality 5-star love right there. And I got to get it, and I got to have it in my own personal walk. And I can't be trying to find my fulfillment in my wife. I can't be trying to find fulfillment in my career. You realize the title on your business card will not always be that. One day all those business cards are, I've had so many different jobs. I had a stack of business cards when I moved here of all the different companies I worked for and all the things that I did. It sounded really impressive. I'm the one who got to write what was on the bottom. They're like little mini resumes, man. I got all these different things. The truth is you'll never be fulfilled, not only in your marriage, you'll never be fulfilled in your career. You're never going to be fulfilled in a new car. Do you understand how marketing works? You understand how marketing works? Marketing is so you'll feel discontented with what you have. That's the point. Motivates you to go buy. That's what it does. That's why when it says, do you want to update? I'm like, no, because then the battery stops working. And then I got to upgrade my phone. And it's like they just want $40 a month for the rest of my life, you know? The truth is the marketing system is to make us feel discontented, unfulfilled. So we'll buy. This world is based on that. Because anything that can steal our attention away from our relationship with God benefits the devil and his kingdom. So he uses the shiny stuff of the world to incite the lust of our flesh. And really, that's the problem. That we, you know, as we get closer to God, what we find out is that we start to see the pride and ego that has allowed the lust of our flesh to drive our life. And so contentment is about finding our fulfillment in God. Now, there's an interesting Bible verse. You might want to underline it here. I made a note while I was sitting in the song service. In Psalm 119 and verse 57, the Bible says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Now, I want to explain what that means. Of all the things that God created, you and your soul is the only thing that will outlive this world. Amen. Everything else burns up. My Ford's going to look the same as a pile of ash is your Dodge or your Chrysler or your Cadillac. It doesn't matter. It's all going to burn up. The only thing that outlasts this life is that which was redeemed by Christ, and that was the soul of a human being. You're all God ever wanted. Do you know that? Of all the earth's beauty and all the wonders of the universe, you are all God ever wanted. But he wants to be, God wants to be all we ever needed. So when it says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord," what I get to leave this earth with is my relationship with God. Everything else stays here, including this old body that'll have to be resurrected and changed one day. So our fulfillment can't be in stuff. Our fulfillment can't, you know, people say, well, if I just make that next rank, or I just get that next promotion, or I get that next sales quota, or I get the bonus, our life's going to be better, and I'll feel fulfilled, and I'll... They're always moving the goal line. That's one of the things the world does to keep us on the string. You know, when we were teenagers, we used to judge ourselves based on what clothing we wore versus our friends. I was back when the original Jordan Airs came out. Do you remember those? People were killing each other and stealing them off their feet. That happened. That was real. That's not spin. That really happened. But I remember those days. And if you had Nike Air, man, you were everything. But the problem was something new came out. And then something new came out. Now they're retro, but you can get Nikes are expensive again, right? Well, Jordans are expensive. But the truth is, you try to judge yourself based on the people around you, and you're never going to find fulfillment. How many of you actually are still in touch with every single person who was in your wedding party? You're like, well, see, guys are different. When Brother Rob and I was talking about this, guys, we can see each other. We can wait 10 years and we connect again. It's like, hey, it's great to see you. Where you been? Hanging out in my clubhouse. You know? That's what we do, right? Hey, good to see you. Like never happened, you know? But how many, seriously, are you still really tight with? You still love them. You're still friends with them. You would do it. But you're not interacting with them daily or weekly. But there was a time when what they thought was everything. And we forget that they cannot fulfill us. Only God can. To live courageously, to live your life out loud, to have your faith matter and mean something, we've got to find our fulfillment in God and not continuing to succumb to the discontentment this world breeds in us. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 11. Paul says, not that I speak in respect to want. You know, there are billions of people who would trade with you right now on the planet who think you're rich, who'd live in your house, drive in your car, work your job, eat your food. They'd be happy to. They'd think they had upgraded huge. Sometimes we just don't see the world the way we ought to see the world, through the right lens. Paul says in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am there with to be content. I've learned. This is something Paul had to learn because it doesn't come naturally to us as human beings to find our fulfillment in God. Our flesh doesn't care about God. Our flesh doesn't want God or the things of God. Our flesh wants the shiny stuff of the world to excite it, you know? And so we have to learn to find our fulfillment. We're not contented by nature. It also has to do with what we think and how we think. That's why Paul said, I've had to learn. It's not settling for less than others have, but uncovering the pride that leads to lust. So, as we look at Philippians 4, it's interesting when you start getting into the sections of Scripture here. It talks about how you should think. Look at verse 4 of chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We need to think with praise. Because everything we deserve is to go to hell. So anything short of that is grace. Anything we get is God just being good to us all the time. And you think to yourself, well, what are we going to do for eternity? Well, there's so many things that go unnoticed by you and I that are just the goodness of God in action. And we don't recognize it. We just think there's circumstances, happenstance, reality. It's just our daily life. And we're going to be praising God for eternity for that stuff. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Think with poise. I mean, you know what poise is? That self-control, that understanding, that personal self-assurance. Why? Because our assurance is not in us. It's actually in God. I am secure in God. Because I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm secure in God. The Bible actually says I'm kept by the power of God. In Job chapter 1 and chapter 2, it says basically that there's a hedge about me, and all that gets in is either something I let in, which I'm my own worst enemy, or it's something God allowed. So think with poise. Don't get shook. Rest in his security. Rest in his sovereignty. God knows. And rest in his soundness. There's nobody as firm and unmovable as God. Verse 6, think with prayer. Be careful for nothing. In no thing, that's what nothing means. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, that's in all things, everything, by prayer and supplication. Go on and ask with thanksgiving. Do you see that next phrase? We're to pray with thanksgiving. Do you know what that means? It says, let your requests be made known to God. So talk to God. But when you pray, is it like a slot machine? You just throw a prayer in, pull the arm, and did I win? Oh. I had these two girls in my youth department, Lisa and Brittany. I saw them in the student lounge area, and they're throwing money in the Coke machine and hitting the button, and the Coke would come out, and they go, woo-hoo-hoo! And I go, and I'm just like, oh, they're throwing money in, hitting the button. I go, what are you doing, girls? And they go, duh, winning. Your prayer, look, prayer is not a slot machine. When you pray, do you have more confidence in Amazon? I mean, you hit the button, right? Check out. Pay with that card. And then what's the first thing you start doing? You check your front porch. Right? You do. You keep an eye on it, right? Because there are porch pirates, porch bandits. You got your ring turned on so you can see. And every now and again you're at work, you'll turn on the ring thing to see. Did they put it there? Is it there? Is it there? Is it there? You know, you need to pray with that kind of expectation. Our thoughts are messed up. We are messed up in the head. One of the reasons why we don't feel fulfilled is because we don't have any confidence that God's going to actually answer. See, when you pray, go on and thank him because the answer's on the way. Now, that answer may be no, and that answer may be wait, but the answer's coming. And you may think, well, God always says no. Well, do you ask for stupid things? Right? Do you ask for stupid things? Dear God, help my husband so he'll be better at being my husband. No. How about for your glory? And for the expansion of your kingdom, would you do a work in me so I won't hinder my husband from having a work done in him? You know? The Bible does say you ladies have a major control over your husband based on the way you behave and what you say. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of things God wants to do, but we just don't believe he'll do it. Just don't believe it. And that's why we're never satisfied. That's why we never have fulfillment. Because we believe God can and God's able, but we don't believe God will because it's us. No. Think with praise. Pray with praise. Think with peace. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Why? Because I believe God's going to answer. I believe God is going to do me good. See, hope is not just about heaven. Hope is about God doing me good and not evil. Think with purity, verse 8. Decide, I'm going to think on the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of a good report and have virtue and are praiseworthy. That's what verse 8 says. Amen. And verse 9, I'm going to think with purpose. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You see that little two-letter word, do. Do you understand? It's good. It's good to take all this stuff in, but if you don't do it, you know, medicine doesn't work by proximity. Did you know that? You can get a prescription and go to Costco and get it or your favorite pharmacy, bring it home, put it in the medicine closet, and for some reason, it won't work. Medicine only works if you take it, right? So when you come to church and you get the medicine and you get the truth, it doesn't work unless you internalize it. And use it. So think with purpose. How do I find fulfillment in God? Well, we talked about last week, step one was fulfilling our purpose. But you know, it goes beyond that in the fact that, number one, you've got to be born again. When you realize you're a sinner and you cannot save yourself and you can't be good enough to get to heaven on your own good works, do you understand that's all filthy rags, right? Otherwise, Jesus would have never had to go through Calvary's cross, right? You understand that, right? Up in Gethsemane, before he was arrested, what did he pray? If there'd be any other way for mankind to be saved, let's do that. Now, I'm paraphrasing in the modern mixed translation. But it's true, right? He says, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, but of course not my will, but thine. I'm here to do your will, God. So when you realize you can't save yourself, that salvation is not something you do. It is something that God does to you because of what God did for you. John 5:24, all that come to me, believe in me, are passed from death to life. God is the one that does the saving. Just like mamas do the birthing physically, our Heavenly Father does the birthing spiritually. We trust the Lord as our Savior. It's where it starts. Finding our fulfillment in God starts with our salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Number two, recognizing that we belong to God. That's our sanctification, our being separated unto Him as for His use. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. But you know, you can't find your fulfillment in God. Once you're saved, you still can't find your fulfillment in God unless you spend time in His presence. You know, in Psalm 23, the famous psalm everybody reads at funerals, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Why? Why will I not fear? "For thou art with me." He said in the Old Testament, He said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrew quotes that verse and says this, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say," because God said that, "that the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You want to find your fulfillment in God? Yes, it starts by knowing Christ as your Savior. When you turn from your sin and call upon Him, believing His blood was shed for your sin, and ask Him to save you, because you're trusting in that. It starts there. Number two, you've got to live in His presence. You've got to spend time. Do you realize God goes where you go? Did you know that? God goes everywhere you go. Okay, let that sink in for a minute. Pause for effect. Where were you this week? God was with you. God saw what you saw. He felt what you felt. He heard what you heard. He partook of what you partook. God was there. Do you know God knows more about your job than you do? Talk about tech support right at the end of your knee. If you just bow your knee and say, "Lord, you need to help me with this. I don't know what to do. I can't seem to make this thing work, or for some reason it won't. This spreadsheet won't balance, or Lord, I can't make this program compile, or Lord, I, what? You don't think God knows your job better than you do, huh? You are never going to be find fulfillment to be fully filled until you recognize that I have God with me, and I need to live in His presence. I need to live knowing He's right here with me, and I need to talk to Him. You know, now, Paul said, "I've learned," and I'm a slow learner, but it's something we can learn. We need to not only live in His presence, we need to fellowship with the people of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." My daddy used to say, "Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are and what you are." You are the sum total of what you read and who you run with. So who you run with? Who do you spend time with? Are they leading you toward God? Are they building you up and encouraging to be fulfilled in God? Are they pulling you away? And if you're always running with people, and sometimes you're going to say, "Well, I don't have a choice. I got that one." But I want you to understand, everybody under the sound of my voice today has somebody in their daily life that just grates on them, right? Takes a pound of flesh off them. Everybody does. Whether it's the guy at the gas station or the person in the cubicle next door. There's always somebody who's got your stapler and just does it to irritate you. I'm just saying. Yeah, that's why you got to live in God's presence, okay? Because you need the lifting. You need the blessing. You need the encouragement. But also, you need to recognize that you also need to run with people. You need to hang out with people on a regular basis who believe like you do, who can encourage you. See, the church is not a memorial to saints. It's a hospital for sinners. This is where you come in. We bandage up your wounds. We salve them up. There's no judgment in here, all right? You come in here and we bind up the wounds and we encourage you and we sharpen your sword and we send you back out again. A friend loveth at all times, Proverbs 17 says. You need to surround yourself with loving Christian brethren. Now, Paul said, Philippians 4:11, he said, "I've learned." It took him a while. And I'm a slow learner. It took me a while. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. The other way to be fulfilled is to rest in the peace of God. Look at verse 6 and 7. "Be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You need to rest in the peace of God. What do you mean? Are you at peace with God? Starts by being saved. But even after you're saved, as you're now a child of God, are you and God getting along? Is there an area of your life where you and God are, you're hoping God doesn't bring it up? You know how it is when you were a kid, that when you're the one that broke something or broke a rule or did stuff you weren't supposed to do, you're hoping nobody dimed you out to the Lord. Right? You're sitting at the kitchen table. So what did you do today? Oh, nothing. Just went to school. Waiting to hear if the phone's going to ring. Right? And you're sitting there on pins and needles. That is not how you live with God. God already knows. So fess up to it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to live in fellowship with you. One of the ways to be fulfilled in God is to be at peace with God. Is there sin in your life you need to confess? Well, you know, Pastor, it's something that keeps coming back. Well, then keep confessing it and asking God for help. So you hit the restart button today. You may have to hit the restart button every day. Hit the reset button. I'm sorry, Lord, it's me again. It's me again, God. You know, God doesn't get tired of that. Your parents might, your principal might, your boss might, but the Lord don't. You want to be fulfilled in God? Rest in his peace. That when God forgives you, he forgets. It's only the devil and you that remember. Then number five, you need to rely on God's power. Look at Philippians 4 and verse 13. I, that's me, that's you. I can. That means it can happen to you. So many times we look at everybody else and go, that's good for them because they say, oh, of course God works in their life. No, that's you. I can do all things. Not only can it happen to me, there are no limitations. The only thing that is outside of the reach of God, is anything outside of his will. The only thing outside of the reach of prayer is anything outside of God's will for you. I can, it can happen to me, do all things, no limitations, through Christ, the ultimate power in the universe. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth. It's accessible to me. Now, Paul said, I've learned. We don't always believe that the minute we get saved. And sometimes you've got to go through some things to realize, yeah, it is available to you. And you need to expect God to provide for you. See, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:16 that God knows what it's like to be us because he came to earth, walked around in shoe leather, went through puberty, went to high school and had to have a career and live in a small town and have to deal with all the peer pressure and garbage everybody else does. And he says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace where you may obtain mercy when you mess up and grace, that's empowerment, to help in time of need. Go to God and ask for it. Say, God needs your help in this area. And expect God to supply it. Look at Philippians 4:19. But my God. You know, that is a firm that will never go bankrupt. My God. Shall supply. That's a promise that is absolutely certain. My God shall supply all your need. Need. That means the amount is always sufficient. According to his riches. Do you see that? That's limitless capital. In glory. That's a bank that can't be robbed. By Christ Jesus. That's whose name is on the check. A check is those little paper things we used to fill out in lieu of cash before there were credit cards. I know. They're at the Smithsonian. You'll see them on your next tour. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And John 14:14, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. That's a blank check. That means you fill in the blank. Now, I'm not talking about, dear God, give me $1 million because the new Cadillac hits the market this fall. That's not what I'm talking about. That's prosperity foolishness. That's lies. But what's your needs? We're finding our needs in all kinds of different ways. And none of them are lasting, and none of them are fulfilling. And a new relationship or a new spouse isn't going to fix it. And a new house and a new car isn't going to fix it. And a new job in a new city isn't going to fix it. Because wherever you go, there you are. right? Wherever you go, there you are. Your fulfillment can't be in physical things. You have to trust God's promises. The Bible says in Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now again, Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned. He had to learn this. Now in 4:12, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, even though I'm being abased. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. Everything is teaching me something, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So what's going to make you feel full? What's going to make you feel fulfilled, truly and literally? What have you done so far that's been long-lasting, that didn't come with a pile of guilt and grief later? Even you say, well, I like new cars. Yeah, but there's always buyer's remorse later when the newer one comes out. Right? There's always that remorse. Is it possible we're not looking at the world the way God does? Are we not seeing it his way? Because it's interesting to me. It's ironic that we can get excited and an hour and a half at the movie theater doesn't seem hardly long at all, but an hour and a half in the church service, you're looking at your watch going, Methodists are going to beat us to Golden Corral. Land the plane, the old country buffet, you know. Isn't it ironic that the minute we open our Bible and we try to read a chapter, we fall asleep, but you crack a new e-book and you're 100 pages in and realizing it's time to go to bed, or I'm going to be up all night. It's ironic how at a game or a concert we scramble for the front row. But at church, there's a fight over the back. It's fun. It's ironic that you need 2 or 3 weeks' notice before signing up for something at church. But you're willing to be inconvenienced for a game or for a barbecue or whatever. It's ironic that we believe everything that comes across the news feeds, but we like to question what the Bible actually says. Isn't it ironic? Everyone wants to go to heaven. As long as they don't have to do anything that's inconvenient, uncomfortable, or requires change. You see, fulfillment means fully filled. Content means fully filled. I'm content. I'm fully filled. But Paul said, I have learned. So we spend time in his presence. We spend time with like-minded believers who will encourage us. We take all of our cares and concerns to God, pray in prayer, knowing he's going to answer, and then look to him for his provision for us. That is the only place you'll be fully filled. And your life will take on a courageous character you never expected. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I have learned, Paul said. And I admit, I'm a slow learner, but aren't we all? Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you're not sure heaven's your home, then you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Of all the would-be gods and religions out there on this planet, the Bible, the God of the Bible, is the only one who came to us. He came to us because we couldn't come to him. He's the one who said, live for me, and I'll die for you. It's the only one. And so today, if you'll turn to him and ask him to forgive you and be your Savior, because you believe Jesus' blood paid for your sin as well as mine, he'll save you. Christian, you're here. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. You're God's child. Where have you been looking for fulfillment? Where? What is it that you've been expecting to fill you and fulfill you and make you feel fulfilled only to be disappointed time and time and time again? May I remind you, it's only in your relationship with Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, I ask God, please, you would help each of us. Father, that you would reveal the need of our heart to us today. For we have obviously forgotten. Paul said he had to learn it, and learning takes time. So show us again, afresh and anew today, God, where we are the reason we're not fulfilled, and how we can draw close to you today as you draw close to us. Speak to every heart and every soul. Move us to make a decision for you today, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix plays and sings, the altar is open. I'm here. I'll pray with you. The other pastors and staff will pray with you. Or you can pray right where you are.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God,
God's grace is enablement, supernatural enabling. God can empower you so that you can obey. That's what grace is. You can't save yourself. God has to give you the gift of grace. You can't forgive. God's got to power you through grace. You can't let go of the bitterness on your own. You need God's grace. You can't be trustworthy for the future. You can't. You can't get the answers just on your own. You need God's grace. You need discernment. You need wisdom. You need. These are all empowerments of God. You'll never be fulfilled in a relationship other than your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Lord, I am free.
You say, well, I want a future. I want a family. I want a home. I want a life together. Find it in Christ first. And then you'll be ready. I have four sons, and I tell them, work on your relationship with God. Be the kind of man God wants you to be so he can trust you with one of his daughters. Be fulfilled with Christ. And that's not settling. That's being fully filled to the point where you have no room for more. Then you're ready. As we pray and with these.
When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Let's sing that chorus with Mrs. Mix.
And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
Here it comes. Sing with her, would you?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Father and our God, we love you. And oh, how we need you. How, Father, we have chased after other things only to be left empty and broken. And today, God, with our pieces of our life, we come to you to be reassembled and filled again, that we might find our joy, our contentment, our satisfaction, our everything in you, as you have chosen to let us be everything you've ever wanted. God, we need you. And you're our portion. Thank you for it. Now bless us as we continue our day today. Speak to us as we go from this place. God, let the words of your word, of your Bible and the truth of your scriptures sink down deep and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Frank, won't you?